I am thankful that through prayer and our daily reflection, it constantly reminds each and every single one of us on how God is near. You know, sometimes the challenges that we face in life can become like a mountain, and then it becomes bigger in our imagination, in our heart. We cannot let that happen. We need to reflect upon God's word so God will be big in our heart and in our imagination and in our minds, that no mountain can be bigger. Yesterday, we looked at the need for what I called persistence in prayer. And it is a prayer of persistence as opposed to a prayer of insistence. Those are two different things. So what I shared with you yesterday was a prayer of persistence, to persevere in our prayer. We cannot control the answer because God is the one who answers our prayers in His time, in His perfect will. So that is beyond our control. But we are all invited to come before God with confidence. Again, there's a difference between the prayer of persistence and the prayer of insistence. Allow me to share the summary of the gospel reading today. Well, prior to the reading, the preceding verses speak about the rich man who asked Jesus to be an arbiter because there was a dispute concerning, inheritance in his family. And as we see, values, morals, and people's priorities have changed over the past decades. If there's a choice between being rich or being poor, undoubtedly many will choose the former. There is no ban on being rich, but what the Bible speaks about also is coupled with abundant warnings. Specifically, the insatiable desire for it, for wealth, and the false security it gives. Then the gospel continues and addresses the less affluent in life to trust in the divine providence as to what they should eat, drink, wear, and their shelter. If we learn to seek God first, to put Him at the very center of our lives, God promised to take care of His people. Can we live in life as worry-free people? Maybe not, but in Christ, yes. Let me give you a quick story. There was a story of a young man applying for a job in a New England factory in the United States. Asking for the owner, he found himself in the presence of a nervous, fidgety man who looked hopelessly dyspeptic. Dyspeptic means having indigestion or consequent irritability or depression. Very nervous person, individual. The only vacancy here, he told the applicant, is vice presidency. The man that takes the job must shoulder all my cares. Now the applicant begins to realize that this man that he was talking to is the owner of the company. And the owner of the company said, to be the vice president is the only opening. And the applicant said, that's a tough job. What is the salary? The owner of the company said, I'll pay you $10,000 a year if you really would take over all my worries. Then the applicant said to the owner, where is the $10,000 going to come from? And then the owner of the company said, that, my friend, is your first worry. Divine providence means the continuing and often unseen activity of God in sustaining His universe, His creation, providing for the needs of every creature, and preparing for the completion of His eternal purposes. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. You have seen what I did to you, to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings. and brought you to myself. We have seen God's providence in the Old Testament. Now let us go to the first reading today from the epistle of James. He was speaking to the church, not to unbelievers, but to the church. He said, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." This is very much in agreement with what Jesus said to the church, to his apostles in John chapter 20, I believe it was. And we can tie this up and look at this from a more panoramic standpoint. Jesus was in a synagogue in Nazareth and said, "God has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee." Like their master, the disciples participated in God's work of healing, attributing miracles to the risen and ascended Christ. In the book of Acts, Peter says to Aeneas, "Jesus Christ heals you." Saint Paul identified healing as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the church. So we see that God wants his people free, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the church must be seen from the ministry of Christ being continued in the work of the church today. Thus, healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not separate, but a part of the sacramental life of the church. The church should not believe that somehow the ministry of healing, miracles, tongues have passed away. The answer is no. The only way they will pass away if the Holy Spirit will pass away, and that is quite impossible. I know that there are concerns that comes from possible excesses. Jesus said, "The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." He is talking about someone who believes. "If they're sick among you, call the elders, priests, and let them pray over you and anoint you with the anointing oil. And he who has committed sin will be forgiven." The church looks at not only the healing of the body, but also the healing of the heart. In God's divine providence, in the past until the present, God sends an angel to touch and move the water on the pool, or in the pool, to heal people's infirmities, as it were, from the gospel reading. At the dawn of the 20th century, the church was awakened to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, thanks mainly to the charismatic movement. When the faithful come together around the table of the Lord, charismatic Christians, as well as sacramental Christians, sacramental and charismatic Christians, expect the gifts of the Holy Spirit to move in their midst in a divine and orderly fashion. Yes, the Holy Spirit is present because of the Eucharist, but beyond that, the Holy Spirit wants to move through his gifts to heal infirmities, to deliver those people who are captivated by the oppression of the evil one. If someone asks me, "How come we don't see more healings in the church?" it is a sign that we need to preach more on the subject. Remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. If we preach healing, people will believe in healing, because faith comes from hearing God's word. There is a move of God in the church because God will continue to move in the church. People from sacramental churches are embracing evangelicalism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And likewise, evangelicals and charismatics are desiring the sacraments. I believe that this is a move of God, and it's called the convergence movement. when the church, I believe, will bring to and come to a point of unity and see the power of the sacraments, the power of God's word being preached in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, being manifested even during the Mass. Something that we can look forward to and something that we need to expect. I believe God is moving in the church today.